Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening, and open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and appreciate all those who are tuned in via live stream tonight, and then also those who are here this evening. And you can tell those who have driven in snow and ice, and those who just want to meet with the Lord tonight, and they're here. And then we have those that we totally understand, those that want to be careful and be safe, but we're thankful that you are tuned in via live stream. I'd really like to take just a little bit of time tonight and just kind of give us a charge this evening. I'm going to be able to go through all of my points, and Brother Gary in the sound booth is probably one of my greatest encouragers. I love him so much, and but he always teases me when I say, hey, I'm gonna just give a quick charge tonight. He always laughs at me, and at Christmas time, I said that, I'm going to give a quick charge, and he laughed at me. I said, I'm not even going to move from the pulpit, and he died laughing. He said, if you don't move from the pulpit, I will give you a gallon of eggnog. And do you know that I won that night? My knuckles were white from holding on because I wanted to move so bad, but I didn't, and I got that eggnog. And so tonight, we're just going to dive into this passage of Scripture. I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Those of you tuning in live stream, take your Bible tonight and turn off everything else for just the next couple of moments. And let's look at verse number 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, but at the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Remember now, over the last 22 weeks, we've been in this in-depth study of 1 Thessalonians. We're looking at this example church. And this example church, what we have been looking at, is really a strong church. And those who had strong conversions and strong ministers, strong Christians in chapter number 3. And then their strong faith that they also had. And chapter number 4, we really, over the last several weeks, have been looking at a strong walk. And this evening, I want to really kind of conclude here in chapter number 5 and look at a strong behavior. A behavior this evening. Paul, as we enter into this last chapter, is going to begin to give us some concluding exhortations. These exhortations are for you and I, and these exhortations are things that you and I can grow in. And so tonight, as we look at this behavior, really just what I want to concentrate on tonight is this, an alert. I want us to look at this, an alert. Look at chapter 5, look at verse number 1. It says, but of the times and the seasons. We answered this question last week when we began to look at it, say, okay, well, when is the Lord going to return? That's what we've been dealing with, especially at the end of chapter number 4. That's kind of the question that was asked. When is the Lord going to return? And when he does, especially what is going to happen to those who have already passed away? What happens to their bodies? And again, there was this question that took place, and they began to ask, and they wanted to know. Paul had already taught the believers that no one, when the Lord is going to know when the Lord is going to return to earth. Only God knows this. Therefore, there's really no reason to discuss the times and the seasons. Now, this is strong, but the strong statement is needed to those who want at that time and also in this day to set dates. There's always going to be those that try to guess, and there's going to be those, as we saw last week, over periods of time, 2012, I remember vividly, but then there were those that, in 1992 and then also in 1998, were there those that set a specific date. They took the Word of God out of context, that this plus this equals this, and if we do this, and study this, and the stars align, and so on April, whatever the case might be, on this day, the Lord is going to return, but yet it didn't happen. What happens then is there's great embarrassment to of the cause of Christ, and there's great embarrassment in Christianity because it makes us look foolish. But what does these times mean? What does the times mean? Well, it means chronological times, the events that follow one another and roll in and out and away from one another. But then he uses not only the word times, but also seasons. Well, the word seasons here means the particular time and the nature of the events that are to take place. Now, Paul had already covered the critical events to discuss what was going to be happening in these events. So, therefore, you and I don't have to be ignorant once again. We can know and we can study. And you and I as believers sitting in here or tuning in via live stream tonight, we can comprehend and understand that the times are getting very close. that there are events that have been given to us in the Word of God that make it very clear that God is going to return. And so therefore, you and I living in 2022, we know that this time and this place, and because these events, God is going to return and He's going to come back very soon. We saw at the end of last chapter, chapter number 4, that Paul, after giving all this exhortation, said, look, go and encourage each other with these things. Now, you and I know that that's how we ought to encourage each other. In a day and age where everybody is so upset over the weather, upset over coronavirus, upset over their team losing, upset over politics, upset over they've been mistreated. My goodness, we really can get in this realm of negativity. And yet Paul says, here's where I want you to exhort each other. I want you to think about God coming back. And who he's writing to was facing true and real persecution. You and I think we face persecution. We do not. But there are those around the globe today that are suffering real persecution. And so therefore, we're to exhort each other with these things. Look at verse number 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh, check it out, as a thief in the night. We don't know when he's going to come back, but he's coming as a thief in the night, suddenly and unexpectedly. Believers are to be looking for the Lord's return, but the believers are going to be caught totally off guard. To say that the believers will be surprised, for you and I, we comprehend that that is going to be, that's really an understatement. I mean, for them to be caught off guard, boom, we're ushered out of here. They're going to be totally caught off guard. They'll be shocked and stand in stark terror at the appearance of Christ and the judgments that will begin to fall on the earth. Note the day of the Lord in this verse. The day of the Lord refers to, watch, the Lord's dealing with unbelievers. You and I are not caught off guard. I think oftentimes we take the Word of God out of context and we think, well, no, and nobody knows the hour. We understand that. And man, he comes as a thief in the night. Absolutely. Do we know that day? We do not. No man knoweth the hour. And yet you and I ought not to be shocked. Why? We know the Word of God. We understand that this wording here, the striking words of perfectly the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. Think about this. John Wolford said it like this, and he said it so clearly, and I state, the day of the Lord is a period of time in which God will deal with wicked men directly and dramatically in fearful judgment. Today, a man may be a blasphemer of God. Today, a woman may be an atheist. They can denounce God and teach bad doctrine against him. Seemingly, God does nothing about it. And isn't that the truth? Seems like that's the day and age we live in. What's God doing with all these people out there, man? My goodness, they're just blaspheming him. And he said, and I quote, seemingly God does nothing about it, but the day designated in Scripture as the day of the Lord is coming, when God will punish human sin. He will deal in wrath and in judgment with a Christ-rejecting world. One thing we are sure of, that God in his own way will bring every soul into judgment. That day, the day when God will bring every soul, this earth, into judgment, is what you and I refer to the Word of God. And the Word of God clearly states that it is the day of the Lord. Friend, it's coming. Isaiah said it like this. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof will not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world of their evil, and the wicked both for their iniquity. And while I will cause, check it out now, the arrogance and the proud to cease, and will lay low in the haughtiness of the terrible. This, my friend, is not going to be a good time. When God comes back, when you and I, at the end of chapter 4, we're out of here, the dead in Christ shall rise first, their bodies go up, we go up, we meet God in the sky, we shall hear the trumpet sound, we're going to hear the archangel, we're going to hear that loud voice, we're all high-fiving, we're all seeing each other in the heavens, we're rejoicing with Jesus. But at that time, check it out, this, my friend, is not a good time for those that are still on this earth. It's going to be a very bad time. Verse number 3 says it like this. Look what it says. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. As travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. You see, the day of the Lord will come when the world of unbelievers feel the great sense of security. Man, they're going to feel like they're in control. Man, they're the ones. Boy, we got this. Look at us. Prideful. The arrogance. Hey, we've got peace. And it looks like peace treaties are going out. And it looks like world leaders are coming together. And it looks like world organizations are fixing it all. And oh, nature. And oh, look at us. And boy, look at what we have done. Oh, it's a wicked time, no doubt. It is a wicked time. No morality in the earth. And it looks like Christians, man, they're struggling. And we're getting rid of them. And then, boom, just like that, this safety, almost as if in, watch very carefully. Now, listen, girls, check this out. It's almost like, for those of you watching via live stream, it's almost like the days of Noah. Noah's working. What a fool. Noah's working. Rain. What is that? Noah's working. My goodness, you're crazy. The days of Lot. Hey, we got to get people out of the city. Why? Come on, Lot, you're crazy. That's the sense of safety they'll have. Luke chapter 17, listen to it carefully, and we're almost done. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drank and married wives and were given in marriage into the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also was the day of the Lord. They did eat, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Friend, there is a terrible day coming. And I understand, for those of you who are watching and for those of you in this room, doesn't it seem at times like the world's winning? In this woke culture that we live in, man, I'm telling you, we look at it and think, how foolish, how crazy, my goodness, how can this world get any more wicked? The end of verse number 3, it says this, and they shall not escape. You see, the day of the Lord will be a day where no one will escape. Judgment is coming and destruction and absolute surety. They shall not in no wise escape out of it. All human beings, watch very carefully, friend, who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, all human beings will be judged on this earth. The Bible says this, and thinkest thou this, O man, thou judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. Amos said it like this, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it of for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and bear meat for him and went out of his house and leaned on his hand on his wall and the serpent bit him. No one will escape this day. Say, okay, Pastor, so what do we do? Well, we are alert. We're awake. We know what time it is. We warn everyone that we can. We go out of the highways and the hedges. We tell them there's a day coming. Be careful. Comprehend this. The world's not going to get away with it. He's coming very soon. May you and I be alert this evening. May you and I be alert tonight that He's coming. And it won't be very long. But may we be alert in telling others that great day is coming. It may not be very long. It could be tonight. It could be in another 5 years. But rest assured, judgment is coming upon this earth. Now, let me say this so we can end on a high note. You and I don't have to go through this. Comprehend this. Watch this. London, and for everybody up here, watch this very carefully. All of us that are saved will not go through this period. You and I will be raptured up out of here. The tribulation, when those seals are open, one after another, after another, after another. You and I, we won't be going through that. You and I will be up in heaven. We can rejoice. You and I can love the day that, man, we're going to be raptured out of here. But for those of us who are still here on this earth and saved, may we train up our kids, be telling others. May you and I live of love, joy, peace, happiness. I know there's a storm outside, and I comprehend that, man, That's all I feel like everybody's been talking about today is this storm. And I often thought throughout the day, what if we got this excited about God's return as we did for a snowstorm that's coming in? We know it's coming. Let me tell you, this Bible is definitely more accurate than any weatherman out there. What if we got more excited and geared up and ready as we did, getting our food and our salt and our shovels? Oh, we were so ready for this day. Let me tell you something. There's a day coming. We're going to go to heaven. Are we prepared? Are we ready? And are we alert?